There are specific settings which are like seem inconsequential to like the average miner maybe, but now that these opportunities are coming up, like RBF and CPFP, some miners will just outright choose to reject these transactions, but they're actually missing out on potentially, you know, thousands of dollars in fees simply from that one setting. So part of the work that we've been doing actually is talking to these miners and seeing, you know, who's willing to change what setting, and it does benefit them definitely. I would say that the kind of the landscape of the mempool is changing significantly.
Hello, I am Cody Allingham, and this is the Transformation of Value podcast. In this episode, I host the Kiwi Bitcoin Builders monthly catch-up for April 2024. This monthly call is a way to bring together people working on awesome Bitcoin businesses and projects in New Zealand. We share what we've been working on and what has been happening in the space. We hear about the Bitcoin Alive conference that was held over in Sydney, follow up on the success of the Lightning Pay beta, as well as hear from SatFlow, a new Kiwi Bitcoin business exploring MEV on Bitcoin. If you would like to share a Bitcoin project or business that you are working on in New Zealand, do please reach out to me and we can connect. Just send me an email at hello@thetransformationofvalue.com. Otherwise, on to the show.
Okay. The mic is hot. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for making the time on a Sunday evening. Everyone, welcome to Kiwi Bitcoin Builders monthly catch-up. I'm going to go ahead and actually shoulder tap Paul. I'm really keen to find out about Bitcoin Alive and how it was over in Sydney. Like, if you're open to sharing what it was like, and if anyone else went, it'd be great to hear your thoughts as well. But
yeah, no, it was good. It was really good. Some pretty good speakers. Good venue. It's cool meeting some of the Australian Bitcoiners. Been chatting with online a bit, some faces to names, and they're pretty good guys, eh? Yeah, overall impression was it was pretty professional, well run, and there was some, I saw quite a few speakers and they were all pretty good. I think they've been pretty good selections there. The venue was a standout. It was a really good venue, I thought, for it, the way they had it structured with the main hall and then a couple of rooms upstairs. I thought the front area and that left a little bit to be desired. There wasn't too much chance to use Bitcoin or some of the cooler little things you get. But the main core event, I think they did really well, like the speakers and the organization and how that ran. It was pretty smooth and pretty entertaining. We saw Tip perform her track that we'd seen in Queenstown, and she'd already done it in Madeira as well, but yeah. It was a bit of a hit. Standout speakers. There was a guy, and I'm going to forget names. There was a guy who talked about markets and had a whole bunch of charts, and I'm normally not all that into that sort of stuff, but he was actually really engaging and pretty good. Bugger if I can tell you who he was, actually. I think he's like Checkmate on Twitter or something, an Australian guy. I think he worked for somebody. Glassnode or something.
Works for Glassnode. Checkmatey. Got the biggest pinky eye Aussie accent you'd ever want to hear, hasn't he? I love hearing him talk.
He was a great speaker, eh? His whole talk was really engaging and really clever, and he'd done some pretty clever sort of charts and things, and I'm not no expert at that, so I struggle with that sometimes, but his was really clear and nice and quite interesting. Daniel Bannon was pretty engaging. I hadn't really seen him speak before. He was pretty polished and had a pretty interesting talk. And I was quite impressed by those Australians, the Dunworth brothers, Peter Dunworth and Michael Dunworth, quite very different. Like, you wouldn't know they're related without the name, but they're both really interesting and completely different ways. That's my main takeaways. It was a good time. We had fun over there. It was pretty good. I was impressed. Thought they ran a pretty smooth ship.
Was it the same venue as last year? Do you know?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
I think
the Roundhouse. I think it was on a university campus.
Yeah, those venue relationships sound like they're really important to cultivate and sort of try it out. Because do you know, Andrew, when they started doing Bitcoin Alive? Has it been a couple of years now, or?
Last year was the first one.
I see. Okay, so they're sort of finding their feet maybe with a venue and starting to get into a bit of a pattern.
One of the organizers, there's three organizers, band, two guys and then a girl who, the guy and the girl were partners. And she was, I think she was the events manager for that venue for several years before this. So they, I think they got in well with a good relationship and connection there to be able to get it up and going, which probably helped. And you could see that events management experience when you were there, that was run really slickly in that way. I was quite impressed.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, in terms of like takeaways, learnings, like, do you think it's maybe given you some food for thought for operations in New Zealand and BitKiwi and sort of improvements or tweaks or ideas for how you guys are doing things over here? Or
yeah, it definitely did give us a bit of food for thought. Although if anything, it gave us confidence, because yes, it was good, but didn't seem like daunting. It didn't seem anything out of reach for New Zealand or anything that we couldn't handle if we scaled up a bit. And I think a lot of the things that we do well, they don't do at an event like that. Like the actual interaction with Bitcoin is a big thing that we try and get going at BitKiwi events. There was no real, you could buy some products there in Bitcoin, but there was no real chat about it. It wasn't a focus at all. And yeah, I thought if we did an event like a bit larger like that, we'd have more in the way, more to look at and stuff, more in the front room where they've got commercial tables and merchandise and things like that, just a bit more of that sort of thing. I didn't think there was too much of that. I feel like you need to have a few things going on. That's not a criticism of their event, though. I mean, that wasn't the core focus, but I think BitKiwi, we try and sort of do our own thing that's a bit different from a conference or a meetup. And so the things that we focus on, they didn't tend to focus on. So I guess overall, if anything, just made us more confident that we can run great engaging events in New Zealand. And it's not like we're missing any key ingredients to be able to do that. We've got the people around in the Bitcoin community and the places and the know-how to get it done.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Cool, thank you for sharing that. I do think the Lightning stuff, Bitcoin merchandise and having that more tactile piece at the front of house is certainly very powerful. And I don't think we got to talk about this last time, but I went to a Lightning flea market recently in Tokyo. And that was really awesome, having just like stuff, not even just Bitcoin stuff, but like general, like cool stuff for sale. Mm. And I certainly think, with the amount of Bitcoin businesses that are emerging, and we had another one that I got shared to the group the other day. There's more and more people who are Bitcoin businesses and are selling their stuff with over Lightning. So having that for sale and having that sort of circular economy in the event is kind of really cool. And I guess on that note, it'd be cool to chat a little bit about Lightning Pay. I'm keen to hear. We got Rob and Brandon on the call as well, so I'll maybe hand it over to you guys. Where are things at with Lightning Pay?
Yeah, we're going good. We've already added our first new feature, which was Lightning Addresses, which seemed to go down well with some of our users, which we're stoked with. We did have a lot of problems with failed payments, some of the nodes playing up, but we learned a lot from that. So we've come out stronger. So overall, yeah, we're just still, there's only about 20 people using it, and we're just ticking over, and it's everything's going pretty well. We're just sort of figuring out next steps, which is sort of looking into moving the liquidity around so that we can make sure we can proceed with more buyers and sellers. What we'd like ideally is a kind of a nice balance between buyers and sellers, and that makes our business run most efficiently. But in the case that there's lots more buying and selling or vice versa, we'll have to shift funds around in the back end. So we're doing a bit more work to understand how we can do that more efficiently now as well. So other than that, it's going quite well. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll just add on, like, pretty exciting to get that out the door and get the first, 20 or so. I mean, four or five of them. So we'll call it 15 at the moment. But we're talking the other day about, plans to make that closed beta an open beta and invite some more people along and what that looks like and how we get there. I think figuring out some of the back end questions we have is the primary focus. As far as building goes, as far as the first product at the door, like, that's just, the simple way to buy and sell Bitcoin over the Lightning Network, and that's I made a little demo video of that the other day, and pretty cool. You can get this done in 30 seconds and get Bitcoin in your wallet, which is pretty amazing. It's an experience that I haven't seen really anywhere else. It's pretty unique for not just New Zealand, but for anywhere else, which I'm pretty happy about. And I guess looking forward, you know, I just had my first play with an early cut of the point of sale features, which was pretty slick. Considering, you know, I got done with it and it was very simple. Like the playing with it took me 5 seconds, and then I realized like I'm gonna get dollars tomorrow, right? So that's a cool value add that we want to bring to people, and hopefully get merchants on board as a next phase for what we're looking at doing. So yeah, all good stuff. Really happy to get that out the door and share it with mostly our friends at this stage. A few people, you know, we don't know, but looking forward to getting it out better here soon.
Yeah, I must admit, thank you guys. I've been participating in the closed beta, and I can attest that it is the smoothest Bitcoin buy experience I've ever experienced in terms of, you know, just an exchange experience. Having that one click integration is just profound, and looking at what the incumbents are doing, where it's like sometimes next day delivery, you know, and it's all of these steps. So it really is a game changer with that Lightning focus. And now you've got Lightning addresses as well. I think it's awesome. And we've talked a lot about it, and we've been sharing ideas. And I think there's a really solid product there that deserves celebration. And perhaps New Zealand's one of the few countries that has the infrastructure for these kind of instant payments. You mentioned maybe Brandon, like in other countries, just because of the structure of the financial system, you couldn't have the open banking infrastructure to do instant payments like that.
Yeah, I've thought about that quite a bit. I mean, we are, I will say before I say the rest of this, that we are focused on New Zealand. Like our whole purpose is to make sure that New Zealand has the infrastructure here to be, just to make use of, you know, what Bitcoin has to offer. Looking around, I'm thinking, you know, the experience we've been able to create with the open banking infrastructure is super fast. It's with the tools we have at our hands, you know, it's a one click to get Bitcoin sent to your wallet, which is a pretty unique thing. And so I did start looking around a little bit at other places we, you know, might be able to cater to the same experience, but just speaking personally, my knowledge about the way that things work in the US, like this is not possible there. Just full stop. It is unique, and it's partly unique because of what we have available to us here on the fiat side, making things a little bit easier. That's obviously offset by a little bit of friction around the Bitcoin side of things from a compliance perspective, which is pretty difficult here in New Zealand. So, you know, I'm glad we've been able to do it, but you know, there's some goods and bads. But it's a cool thing that I, you know, just looking around at the other options that are available out there around the world, like it's something that's pretty unique, and you can only really do when you have open banking infrastructures you can attach to.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. Has anyone else had a chance to play around with the beta?
I've been a bit slow on it. I only just got through the the KYC process, but I have been verified this evening. So yeah. I was actually, while you're talking, I was just trying to make my first purchase, see what it was like. So I might report back later.
Yeah. No, it's
I've certainly spent quite a bit of time involved in testing it in one way or another. As Rob could attest to. But no, it's been awesome. It's just been a couple of wallet issues, maybe on my end as much as anything, but it's certainly still the best process I've been involved in. So it's been great, guys. Cheers.
Yeah, no, it's great. But hey, so that's, I guess, Lightning Pay, and keen to maybe open the floor up to anyone else who's been working on stuff. I know we've got a few others on the call. So yeah, anyone want to share what they're working on or introduce themselves?
Yeah, I'll jump on.
Yeah.
So me and James are here. We work for a company called Satflow, and it's a bit of a stealth startup at the moment, but we're working on some really interesting stuff on Bitcoin, with like different sort of PSBT techniques. And yeah, I don't know, we're here and keen to find out more about all that's going on. I've been to one BitKiwi, and looking forward to going to the next one in Wellington for the
halving party, right?
Yeah.
So pre-signed Bitcoin transactions.
Yeah, partially signed.
Partially signed Bitcoin transactions. Like, how can you share any more, Alex? You've got me curious.
Sure. I'll share a little bit more. So there's this whole idea that has been like well executed on Ethereum, which is MEV and extracting value from the chain. And so that's been done, you know, 100 times over on ETH. But we're only just beginning to see some of those changes in Bitcoin, specifically with the rise of some Satoshis being worth more than other Satoshis for various reasons. And that's like the whole Ordinals movement and everything, and other things which are other projects which are coming out of that. So the idea is that some of what we're working on is giving people tools to be able to like interface with transactions going on in the mempool and all sorts of things, and it gets very complex very quickly.
Are you familiar with mempool.space, Alex? You must have come across that. I was really lucky. They're based in Tokyo, where I am, and I was lucky to go to a meetup event and talk to them about some of their different projects. And it was quite interesting to understand sort of what's at the cutting edge of, you know, the transaction propagation. They've got their new service for you know, bumping transactions out of
Accelerate, I think it's called
accelerating. And then we've seen some stuff with some of these other pools with Slipstream coming out, with Marathon Digital and a few other things. So it sounds like it's a very interesting space now emerging around that kind of interface with the mempool
side. It is. So yeah, so one thing is like interfacing with the mempool in a more general sense, like you don't have a partnership with a mining pool or anything. The really like interesting stuff also comes out when miners, you know, they have their discretion as to what order the transactions are included in and everything. And there's a lot of like potentially like strategic decisions that you can, you know, act on. It's once like this kind of like barrier has been broken to like, the ordering really matters more than it used to, or I really want this specific inscription or anything. It's kind of like you can do as much as you can with the mempool, and then it's at some point you reach like, now I have to be friends with a miner or something, and they can include my transaction if they get a block or something. So it just, yeah, it's a really big field.
And different miners, have policies where they'll just like reject certain transactions over others, right?
Yes. So there are specific settings which are like seem inconsequential to like the average miner maybe, but now that these opportunities are coming up, like RBF and CPFP, like some miners will just outright choose to reject these transactions, but they're actually missing out on potentially, you know, thousands of dollars in fees simply from that one setting. So part of the work that we've been doing actually is talking to these miners and seeing, you know, who's willing to change what setting, and it does benefit them definitely. And I would say that the kind of the landscape of the mempool is changing significantly.
Yeah, anyone want to pull on that thread a bit? Or
yeah, mempool.space is a great project, very very interesting. I really like their recently released mempool goggles feature that lets you filter all the transactions in the mempool by type. You know, is it a child pays for parent transaction? Is it RBF? Is it inscription or whatever? You can really get a deep view into the mempool that you just couldn't even just a year ago.
And with that feature, when they put out goggles and they allowed you to view you know, filter down all of the transactions in a block. They use the poop emoji for inscriptions or anything that contained lots of data. And I thought that was hilarious. They've since changed it though.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you know if you're able to see if thing is it possible to know if something's a lightning channel being opened?
I'm sure. You go, James.
At least that's a feature in and Mempool goggles at least. So it's very cool for that too. I think you can see forced closures as well. SatFlow isn't working with anything related to that. To my knowledge, at least I've only recently joined.
If I can clarify, so that's SatFlow is the name of your guys.
Yeah, SatFlow.
That's awesome.
But it's all private beta at the moment, I would say.
We've got a few private betas going on in this group. That's cool, though. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that, guys. And that's James, yourself, James, and Alex working on that.
It's Alex's company. I've only joined them. Yep.
Yeah.
We're both based in New Zealand, which is awesome. More Kiwi Bitcoin devs.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that.
I was just going to say it's a good time to be doing UTXO consolidation and mixing.
What are our fee rates looking like at the moment?
Well, under single figures at the moment. Well, they were today. Yeah,
six Satoshis per V-Byte.
Six V-Byte. It's a great time to UTXO consolidate.
Yeah, public service announcement. That's cool.
I was just going to talk about the other thing that we were playing with this week, which is a handful of us around the table have been playing with Fediment, trying to get a federation up. We've been doing it the last couple of weeks. No one can join our mints yet because we're still in clearly an amateur phase of our capability around getting that done. Learning a lot. It's been cool to see how it works. We got a mint up and running. Mint has three Lightning gateways, and it works most of the time. So we're getting there. Trying to play it out. I think from my own perspective, I'm really interested in eCash as an eventual tool set for the average person to find something that looks like, something that looks like a better version of the financial system in the long run. So I've been really interested in that for quite a while, but I've had a Cashew instance for quite some time and have pretty good experience with that at this stage. But the Fediment thing obviously has some advantages and wanted to give it a shot. So is it the handful of us that have spun one up and got it going, and it's been a fun experience working that out and getting it going. Just throwing that out there. It's another thing that's been a fun learning experience this week, or last couple anyway.
Yeah. I was also lucky, Brandon, when I went to mempool.space, a guy, Eric Sirion, who's working with Fediment, the open source side of it, because there's Fedi and then there's Fediment, right? The two.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And it was interesting to actually learn a lot more about how it works. And at the same time, I don't know if I don't know if anyone else is reading this, Broken Money, but understanding sort of the structure of the legacy financial system and sort of the layers and all of that has been really eye-opening for me, understanding the scaling question. And I think you probably maybe have some thoughts, Brandon, but the role of eCash, Fediment, these kinds of things in the future of Bitcoin seems very interesting, very promising, very exciting as well. So,
yeah,
it's sort of early days, perhaps. But
I mean, look, I'm a bit conflicted about thinking that eCash is the best. Currently, I'm feeling that eCash is the best version that's available to us of a global financial, product for regular people to use in the long run. I got into Bitcoin for freedom first. That was what I was interested in, and if I had my own way, that wouldn't exactly be the way that I wanted to get it done. I'd rather that we provide people with their own sovereignty on the best money in the world, but I don't think we can count on that. It might, you know, there are a lot of proposals and a lot of things that'll change, you know, over the course of even 2-3 years, you know, things change a great deal in Bitcoin and we may eventually see that occur. But, you know, I think from where I'm sitting, all we can really do is focus on the tools we have available to us and where we're sitting right now. I can start it off feeling like, you know, these eCash systems, whether it's Fediment or Cashew, are a compromise that I sort of wasn't that excited about. But you know, honestly, the more that I learn about the resulting capabilities that you can provide to the average person, and the more that these things evolve over time, the more excited I am about, you know, that potential. Like, even if that's all that we can achieve for, you know, the average person, I think that's a pretty damn good result. You know, the level of privacy you can provide someone with a digital cash system through these things is, you know, near perfect. You know, I was talking to my brother the other day and just mentioned this to him casually and just said, like, you know, it's a digital cash system built off of Bitcoin that provides, you know, the average user the ability to pay anyone, you know, with near perfect privacy, with basically like they're paying with cash. And he was, you know, he's not a Bitcoiner, but he was like, that's going to change the world. Like, he was all over it, right? And I think that, you know, it should be lost on us that that's a cool thing we can achieve now. It's not, again, it's not my ideal, but yeah, I'm excited to see where this stuff goes, and things are moving a lot, changing a lot. And I excited to see what I can bring to people that are experimenting with Bitcoin. I think it's a good development, and happy to see where it goes.
Thank you. I think I've been playing around with it as well, and the optionality and the innovation that can happen at the edges is really cool as well. It's sort of, there is a PSYOP going on at the moment, I think, off the back of some of the high fees earlier in the year around Lightning and the future of these kinds of things. But I think slow and steady, work through it, a solution to the problem that we have, as opposed to problems that we don't know about or that we're sort of a hypothetical situations. There's a kind of a way of looking at the problem space, which I think can be very confusing, very challenging. But at the end of the day, we've got the chain with the money on it, and we've got the tools we've got, as you say, and we've got to just work with them. And smart people will make stuff work in incredible ways that we can't even imagine. So even just seeing Phoenix Wallet, I tried it again after a couple of months, and seeing some of the splicing features they've got in there, which is just such a better UX than it was when I was last using it. And that's because they're on a little bit away from Bitcoin itself, and so they can push ahead with their Bolt, you know, their process for what they're using for Lightning. They can push ahead and make proposal updates and stuff on their end, and just run with it, you know. And that sort of allows the free market to build the solutions, which is quite cool.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, the Phoenix thing is, I went back and played with it again myself. It's I have my own node, so it's funny. Like, most of the other wallets are, you know, I just only play with them for the most part. Honestly, like, there might come a time where I give up on running my own node, and that time comes when I can use something like Phoenix confidently, and it's almost there. Like, I think one of the things, like, I know that there's on-chain fees when you're using it, and it sort of gets confusing. And so, like, for the average person, it's going to be a challenge. But, like, for me, knowing how it works, like, it's a pretty good experience. And, like, I guess asking myself, like, realizing that, if I'm willing to pay, you know, an average of 1% fees, right? If I average out all the on-chain fees plus the Lightning fees or whatever to use a self-sovereign wallet, it feels pretty good. Especially considering the long run future around, you know, on-chain fees, I think it's a pretty good deal.
Anyone got anything else to add?
I was keen to give a bit of an update on the halving party.
Yeah, go for it.
if you're keen. It's less than 2 weeks to go. That's kind of scary, actually. I see the latest on the time chain calendar website I'm following is predicting 12:50 a.m. on the 21st, which is quite funny. If it came in around there, I think that would just about be during the halving party, depending on how long people stuck around, which would be pretty exciting. Hopefully it can hang around there. It'll be pretty cool. But we've been planning and organizing for the halving party. Things are coming together nearly there. There's still a lot to do, but so we're going to run a competition on the night. We've got with KiwiLAM's help, we've built a little system where we're going to have a sort of a guessing game with people guessing the value of Bitcoin at a particular block height later in the evening at the party. So we've built a little system where you can just pay 1,000 sats, log your guess and your name, and then winner takes all sats, whoever's the closest. I think we'll set it for a block height around 10 p.m. And we'll cut off the entries a little bit before that, so you can't pull the snakey right a minute before. But yeah, that's a cool little competition we're going to run. We're going to have like some prize draws through the night as well. We've got a few different things to give away. So some Bitcoin prizes and items. We'll just have a bit of a draw throughout the night. And we're going to have our system up and running to buy drinks with Bitcoin. So our venue doesn't accept Bitcoin there. So we'll just be using the system that we've built in the past, although we have done a bit of tidy up on it. It's running pretty smoothly. I think we maybe let it go a little bit the last couple of times we used it. The traffic was a little bit slow through the nodes, but we've got there now. It's really speedy, so that'll be operating well. We're organizing a cake, and so we're going to have a ceremonial cutting of the cake in half. So we actually got this idea from the guys in Australia. So there's some guys in Melbourne who are running a halving party on the same night. Ian, I think, is in the NZ Bitcoin Builders group. So we've met up with him for a beer and had a bit of a yarn, got talking to them. So they're running a halving party same night in Melbourne. They're actually launching something called the Victorian Bitcoin Technology Club, which is a not-for-profit club that sort of just aimed at helping Bitcoin adoption in Victoria. So they're actually like helping and supporting groups to build things. And so they're launching that at their halving party on the same night as ours. They're having a cake that they're going to ceremonially cut in half as well. And we're actually going to connect up with them at the same time and live stream cutting our cakes at the two halving parties. So that should be quite interesting, providing we can manage the technology. And what else have we got happening? Oh, at Queenstown, we had a little bit of merchandise available, which was something sort of new. We'll have that going as well. And we've actually had some BitKiwi t-shirts made as well, which should be quite cool if anyone's keen. And yeah, that's pretty much sums it up. That's the main things we've got organized. We're still planning on that, but anyone who's coming, April 20th, Fork and Brewer, 7 p.m. free and open to all as usual, but Kiwi way. So yeah, should be a good night.
Thank you. Yeah, it sounds exciting. I'm not sure, unfortunately I won't be there, but I'm sure a lot of people on this call will be. A live stream sounds cool though. It's sort of, you could throw it up on the big screen and sort of becomes a worldwide thing at that point, which just sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. So we'll give it a crack. We're not the most technical people at the best of times, but we'll give it a good go.
Yeah.
There's bound to be a bunch of other parties which are streaming, aren't there? So there's probably no shortage of live stream content to
yeah, to that's true.
I'd zap that, let me put it that way. So that sounds cool. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens as well, because I guess where Bitcoin's at the moment, we'll be looking at the mining side and a few other things, you know, watching what's happening there with hash rate, and sort of it seems like a few people are making predictions around sort of what sort of hash rate's going to go offline, what's the Y2K scenario once the block block reward gets halved. But I mean, I don't know, it seems like we're in a really good spot for 2024, just overall, with all things considered.
Oh, I've got a question for you, Cody. Did you have any feedback, or what was the feedback you got from your article a couple of weeks ago, the New Zealand, you know, the brief you wrote?
Oh, yeah. So I wrote an article in collaboration with a few of the people on this call who helped out quite a lot with that. And I thought that, I guess the intention was a high-level briefing of the situation in New Zealand around Bitcoin and sort of painting the different aspects around mining, some of the innovation, some of the community stuff that's happening, and really just showing it all in one simple article. And had some really great feedback. Had people reach out to me about it. Got a lot of shares on some of the fiat social media, especially LinkedIn of all places. But I think there's a real place for comms. And you mentioned the Victorian Bitcoin Club that's happening over in Australia, and I think at the end of the day, you know, these legacy institutions, they interface with the legacy things, and, you know, stuff like just an article that summarizes what we all know, because we always talk about it at BitKiwi, it just kind of makes it easier for someone outside the space to kind of get up to speed. So, yeah, no, thank you, Andrew. I had a lot of great feedback, and I'm actually looking to do a few more articles and kind of make that more regular, kind of in tandem with the show, sort of outlining the opportunity, because I'm pretty bullish on New Zealand. Things are a bit rough, to be fair, with the recession and the economy, but I think Bitcoin could play a role in really helping New Zealand to kind of break out from that malaise. It's sort of we've got the people and we've got the opportunity. It's just a matter of activating it, I think.
I was listening to a podcast yesterday. It was Darcy's episode he did with what are they called? Keep the Change podcast. You know that one?
Oh, what's that?
It's a New Zealand kind of financial based podcast. But
yeah, with Darcy, right? It was great.
Yeah. And I didn't realize, but one of the hosts of that Keep the Change podcast, he sounds pretty orange pilled. and it was really interesting because he was just talking through, you know, he said he was in his early 30s and was just talking through the numbers of what someone needs. So his example was someone earning the average household income in Auckland and just breaking it down month, you know, what you spend each month, and just say there's nothing left. There's nothing left. You know, this is it for a high earning couple. He was talking about their scenario. And I don't know how popular that podcast is, but it's not a Bitcoin podcast. It's a, yeah, what would you call it? Kind of a, yeah, financial. It's kind of like Darcy's podcast, but one generation younger, maybe. But he really orange pilled. So maybe if anyone, you know, that's a voice that's going to get out into more of a mainstream, you know, we're not calling them mainstream, but get outside of the Bitcoin.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
That's sort of the 20 of us.
Yeah, no, I'll look into that, actually. Thank you, Andrew, because I had a guy on from the Calder KiwiSaver, which does their Bitcoin fund. And, you know, that's TradFi as it gets. But they're touching Bitcoin and people can get it through the KiwiSaver and get government contributions to get Bitcoin, which is pretty awesome. Like, that's not well socialized knowledge, you know, because you've got employer and government contributions, you know, and they have a fund that buys Bitcoin. So it's sort of slowly, but, you know, gradually, but
yeah, I agree. I listened to that this week too. and my impression of him was, you know, that interview with Rupert was that TradFi view on Bitcoin, but like you say, open and accepting Bitcoin and KiwiSaver, they're doing it. You know, there's some other things they might do which we might not like, but the conversation, it's in the main, you know, we go as far as saying it's in the mainstream conversation. You know, you had the Herald, what's her name?
Madison.
Yeah, Madison's interview with Adrian Orr.
She grilled him. Has anyone else seen that interview? Yeah. She did pretty awesome, I thought. Oh, yeah.
I was just waiting for them to go hard, orange pill, but she didn't. But she asked all those questions, you know. I thought she did really amazing. She's like, in 2018, the year you started as the governor of the Reserve Bank, I used the Reserve Bank calculator, and it told me that my purchasing power is down 20%, has dropped, you know, from 2018. You know, and he just can't answer that. And, you know, he admitted in the interview, he's like, oh, that's terrible. but he doesn't have an answer other than the Fiat playbook. But so it's in the mainstream, you know, that's the Herald.
The idea is it's being incepted at scale, I think. And the number go up mentality, I hadn't really seen it firsthand, but just the change in sentiment now is just so profound, because we're all diamond hands here, but you know, going through the last few years, but man, just a little bit of number go up and everyone and their dog is ready to go. And we've got now places where you can buy Bitcoin through Lightning Pay, stuff like that starting to come online, which I think is really awesome. Got a lot more awareness, I think, self-custody and these kinds of things.
The fact a central banker is like, you know, on a mainstream media interview and like getting like flustered and like saying like Bitcoin isn't a store of value, it's not a medium of exchange, and it's not a
the Streisand effect. Yeah.
It's just the fact that he's arguing about that is pretty cool. And yeah, I agree with Calder too, that even if it's sort of, you know, TradFi and they're not doing, you know, they're probably gonna add in like Ethereum and all the other cryptos as well to their thing. It's still a move in the right direction. You know, it's gonna allow more people to get exposure to Bitcoin. And so yeah, I think I can only see that getting better.
Yeah. I don't think it will. I told him don't add it. Keep it Bitcoin. In fact, just call it the Bitcoin fund.
Yeah. Well, actually you can arguably call it the carbon negative fund. if it's got Bitcoin in it, but as soon as you start adding in you know, proof of stake cryptos that require a reliable internet connection, yeah, you can't run that on renewable energy.
I saw a piece on Stuff by Damian Grant, who's a bit of a libertarian writer for them sometimes and writes pieces, and he referenced that Madison Reedy interview heavily, and it was again another case of not talking about Bitcoin, but those kind of themes starting to come into the mainstream, because he was talking a lot in there about Adrian Orr needing to own up to the debasement of the currency being the largest driver of inflation. And so that was the premise of his article. And he referenced how he probably assumed it was going to be a softball interview, and he really got bailed up by this Madison Reedy, and he gave her a bit of kudos in there. So that was quite interesting, seeing a flow-on effect from that into another article in the mainstream media.
Yeah. And also just as a young person, you know, in Madison, you know, she's speaking for the future of New Zealand when, you know, you've got Adrian with his portfolio and his track record of bank, you know, bank cantillionaire privilege, exorbitant privilege. So, you know, he doesn't feel the pain of, you know, a Wellington student or a young person just getting their first job or trying to think about the future, as he waddles into the Reserve Bank, you know. It's sort of the irony of that it's young people who are asking the questions, and young at heart, forward focused, because there's something, yeah, we all know, there's something just insidious about the, you know, that short termism and the future of New Zealand, which I think is really at stake at the moment. Cool. All right, guys. Anyone else got anything they just want to throw out there that we can cover or we can discuss?
Oh, I can say from Christchurch, we've got a nice little weekly meetup going now. Kirk has kind of stepped up and kind of took on the responsibility of organising that. So we've Wednesday nights, getting kind of, yeah, probably 8 to 10 along every Wednesday now. So that's happening.
Including some no pointers, yeah, which is cool.
Well, I'm including human beings, yeah. We classify them. we tend to digest a bit afterwards on Telegram, don't we? but that's happening now. That's a weekly meetup in Christchurch.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. And there's still a bit of stuff happening in Wellington, isn't there? Paul, Zed's got the weekly, is it a weekly meetup as well?
I think it's a monthly he's running. I think it's on this coming Wednesday, actually. So the 10th, I'm pretty sure. So Zed's running that every month. It's at Boneface Tavern in Wellington. And that's a pretty good meetup. I aren't always able to get along, but I go to every other one pretty much. Yeah, it's a really good meetup for sort of newbies, human beings, no pointers, it's a really good one for that, actually, because Zed's got a real passion at teaching people, answering questions, and he's a pretty good explainer. So he gets a good different crew to what I see at other meetups and things. So yeah, he's doing a great job. And yeah, so that'll be, I think it'll be Wednesday.
Yeah, the 10th.
Well, I think it's 6 p.m. maybe.
Yeah, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it up here. But 6 p.m. at the Boneface Tavern, Wellington, for Bitcoin Monthly. In Wellington. That's cool. And I must admit, yeah, Zed's pretty awesome. I have had him on the podcast, and I'm hoping, I've just brought my tickets for BTC Prague, and I've got an episode coming out soon, actually, with the co-founder of BTC Prague, which is really awesome. So I'm hoping, Zed's awesome. Chick. So I'm hoping I can catch him over there and that, because that's like the center of like Bitcoin in Europe. I don't know. There's so much stuff coming out of Prague and the Czech Republic. So that would be awesome to reconnect with him. Maybe later in the year. Cool. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for your time on the...
One more thing, Cody, for you. I was going to say, if anybody is unable to make the Wellington Halving Party, Francisco is organizing the Queenstown Halving Party, which is going to be on... If you're mad keen, it's going to be on the Friday the 19th. So you could actually do both, you know? So you don't have to miss the Wellington one. So yeah, if anybody's in the Queenstown area on Friday the 19th, drop by and say hi and have half a beer. And I don't know, I don't think we'll have half a cake, but we'll just have some good chats and some usual banter.
Yeah, awesome. No, thank you for sharing that, Rob. Cool. All right. Well, look, everyone, we might wrap it up there. As I said, thank you for your time on a Sunday evening, but it's awesome to just reconnect, and especially hearing from Alex and James about Satflow. That's really cool. But yeah, we might leave it there for the night. Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully we can demo at the halving party.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Sounds good.
Cool. All right, guys.
Thanks, Cody.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Cody. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening. I do hope you enjoyed the show. I am Cody Ellingham, and that was the Transformation of Value. If you would like to get in touch, please send me an email at hello@thetransformationofvalue.com, and I will get back to you.